Kozlowski. Oh, she's going to come and give her testimony for Mother's Day.
Good morning. So I'm a pretty busy mom. I have three amazing boys that are all here today, and I'm super excited that they're all able to be here. My oldest son goes to college at the University of Tampa, so he's made it home for Mother's Day, and to have all three of my children here just makes me emotional. It's the best thing I could have. So when Dave asked me to speak, he kind of was like, well, could you talk about, you know, being a busy mom and the stresses of a busy mom and you know, and then, you know, how you find rest. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, there are so many things I could talk about. But I came up with about five main stressors, I guess you could say they are. But really, I am not the only mom that I'm sure could tell. Somebody else could come up here and tell an identical story to mine. So I'm just hoping that you can relate to what I have to say. Now, I do have kind of a motto that I go by, and I try to live by it, and I try to impart that to my children as well. They could probably finish my sentence for me if I said, always be prepared. I'm always trying to strive to be prepared, because if I am prepared, well, remember back when Dave talked about fear and one of your biggest fears, and I know Mariah, you would know, the fear of the unknown, and so I have that fear as well, and so I'm always trying to be prepared for what could happen, you know, and when we're so busy, I try to do that, but that also causes you to be more busy, and when you're trying to gather things up and that kind of thing. So anyway, let me get to my stressors. The first one, anybody that has a driver in your home, especially a young driver, that is stressful. And I'm about ready to have a new one. Benjamin, my youngest son, is almost 15 and a half in how many days? 5 days, and he'll be able to get his permit. So, well, that'll be the last of my drivers. So that anxiety is going to start creeping in again. You know how it is, especially when your children are out late at night and you're waiting up for them and to get home. And moms, especially moms, I'm sure I don't sleep. I don't know if you guys sleep, but it's very difficult. But here recently, Luke, since he lives in Tampa, you probably all remember last fall, Hurricane Irma was set to, like, the eye of the storm was going to hit Tampa originally. Of course, you know, the path changed several times. And we had kind of come up with a plan for Luke, you know, to, you know, stay put, shelter, you know, there in Tampa. But as the day went on, the reports got worse and worse, and we were sitting at Colin's football game, and I get a phone call, and so it's probably like about 8 o'clock at night by then, 7:38, and he's like, Mom, I don't think I can stay. The reports are showing it's going to be really, really bad, and the aftermath is going to be terrible. I'm jumping in the car, and I'm heading home. Well, you can only imagine, you know, first, are you prepared for that? You know, do you have water? You know, do you have gas? Do you have money? And all these things. And, you know, but God was so good through all of that. But I did not sleep. In fact, I stayed up all 20-some hours that it took him. It took so long to get home because of the traffic. And he would call and talk, you know, when he would only go, it'd take a half an hour to go 2 miles down the road because it was bumper-to-bumper traffic of everybody trying to get out. And he'd say, Mom, I've listened to my playlist 10 times. I'm going to go crazy. Will you talk me through the next hour? And I'm like, sure, you know. But I helped talk him through getting home. But I would not have rested until he was home. And so, you know, that was worth it to stay up all 20 hours with him and get him through that tough time. So that's a stressor when your children are driving. Now, this one, grocery shopping, happens to be my one of my least favorite things to do, / cooking, because, I don't know, boys, can you stand up? I want you to take a look at these guys. These are not vegetarians, okay? All right, you can sit down. But they eat a lot, and they eat a lot of meat and protein, and that it takes a lot of preparation and lots of shopping. And we live, a lot of you live in the Valley area, and as you know, there's no place to really shop. So every time you go to town, you want to make it worth it. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, because when I shop, I shop. And I pile my cart on as full as I can get it. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody said to me, "Are you feeding an army?" I would be able to retire by now or pay somebody else to shop for me anyway. So, you know, it's just easier that way. I buy as much as I can. I buy extra and I cook extra. But where the rest comes in, I might have a big shopping day, but if I get what I need and I cook a lot and I grill up a ton of meat, then I'll have it for the week. And then later in the week when it gets crazy, you know, you can rest. So you just have to learn to be prepared. So moms out there, if you are hitting the teenage stage really soon, that's my advice to you. You will have rest later if you are prepared. So that's a stressor for me, but I have healthy boys that are just amazing, so it's worth it, feeding them well. All right, now there's another one. I know, moms, you can all relate to this. Dirty laundry. And not just dirty laundry. I'm talking sports dirty laundry. And if you have ever smelled roadkill, you have smelled the laundry my boys create. So, yes, and that's especially during football season. I don't know why, but they for some reason leave their stuff like in bags for like a full week before bringing it home, and then they offer you this dead, you know, roadkill. "Mom, this needs washed by tomorrow," you know. And so I have an arsenal of just cleaning supplies and deodorizers that, you know, there again, I over the years have figured out what gets out grass stain, what makes the whitest uniforms, what gets out roadkill smell, and you know, I have got it all. So if anybody needs advice, just call me, because I know how to do that. But there again, it's that preparation. If you prepare for the roadkill, if you prepare for the grass stains, life is going to be more restful at some other time in your life. You're prepared to deal with it. And the rest comes when you see your son running on the field with the whitest uniform, and then you could wear that badge of honor, like, "Yeah, I did that." So, let's see. Packing up the car for games. In Ohio, especially springtime, if there's any moms out there, families that do spring sports especially, fall is but spring, it can be really bad. You know how Ohio can be. You can have all seasons in one day. Sleet, snow, rain, maybe sunshine. You need it all. So be prepared. And when that other person over there is freezing and you have the extra blanket, there again, there's your rest. You can rest easy knowing you're warm sitting there with your blanket. But share, too. The last thing I wanted to share, one of my stressors, I'm going to do some confessing on this one, too. I always seem to do confessions more than anything when I'm up here. Driving my boys to lacrosse games. Two out of three play lacrosse, and there's no busing for that, and it's always parents have to drive. And there aren't many lacrosse lacrosse teams around Licking County. So we are always going to like westward, you know, Columbus and Delaware and just far places. You know, once you get through Columbus, then you go to some cornfield and who knows where. And so driving really isn't my favorite thing to do. I teach out at Tri-Valley in Dresden. So, like, I'm just so used to going east in the morning, and nobody else is going that direction. If I see maybe 3 or 4 cars and a couple deer, that's a busy day. So, you know, going to Columbus area is always a big stressor for me, and not something I enjoy, and my boys know it. So it really, I have to be prepared mentally that, yes, you're going to run into traffic. Yes, there's going to be situations where you need to watch your tongue and not say things to other drivers and such. And we just had a recent incident where we had to be somewhere at 5:30. And so we were going in Columbus, and we were going through Columbus about 5 o'clock. And you can just imagine how thick the traffic was. It was stop and go and stop and go. So I think it was around the Westerville exit, so busy. And I'm driving, and I had to make a sudden stop. There was a car behind me that needed to make that sudden stop. They did not, and they hit the back of my car. And I just, all kinds of things were going through my head. Like, oh my goodness, my husband's going to be mad, and what do I do? Do I try to pull off? Because there's, you know, 5 lanes of traffic. And so I did, I pulled off, and the girl pulled off as well. But I was so upset, and I got out of the car, I slammed the door, and I was ready to do battle. At the time, I didn't know it was a girl. And I come around, and I see this young, oh my goodness, she was probably 16, 17 years old, this girl, and I had my ball cap on and my sunglasses on, and I know all she could see was this angry face. Well, she was just about ready to cry. Well, instantly, all of that anger just kind of went away, and I felt so bad for her that all I wanted to do was give her a hug. But, anyway, I just made sure she was okay. Both of our vehicles were fine. I get back in the car, and we get back down the road, and the boys were silent because they just knew. They didn't say, no, don't talk to Mom. So when we finally got in the clearing, you know, the traffic broke away and it was more open road, they were like, Mom, you had that face. And my students tell me I have that face too. I don't know. I really haven't seen myself, but I have a feeling I know what I look like when I get that face. So, and they were like, you know, the jaw thing you do, and just the stone face you get, like, oh my goodness. So that poor girl, she got my face, and but not my wrath. So hopefully, you know, she went on her way feeling okay. But my point of that is even in that time of stress and everything, we were able to laugh about it, and I was able to laugh at myself, and all that stress just goes away. And that's where I find my rest, is when you can laugh about these things, you know, the laundry, the grocery shopping, the long drives that are stressful, but my boys are what make it worth it. When I get to see them having fun, and I get to cheer them on in their games, and I know that they're healthy and fed, and none of that stress matters anymore, and I can just be restful and happy knowing that I have an amazing family, and I am loved. And they're loved, and that's what it's all about. So, thank you.
How many of you can relate to Diana and to Charity and know what that's like to go through those things? You know what she's talking about? Yeah, it's stressful sometimes, and it can be very difficult. And thank you to Diana. Thank you, Charity. For just putting it out there We've all been through it, and now you've shown us all. Yeah, you've put it right out there. It's very vulnerable. I see the third through fifth grade. You guys can go back to the room back there. Bethany's going to teach today. So if you have any third to fifth graders that don't want to sit through a boring sermon of listening to another person talkie, you know, just go back there. And same with K through second grade. Y'all can go downstairs. Anybody going to do that? They're right back there. You know, I love testimonies because testimonies will always have basically two things. They have the darkness side of the testimony, like here's the terrible things that I've went through, or here's the bad decisions that I made, or the darkness part of my journey. But then there's always a deliverance. You know, there's a deliverance side. Here's how God brought me out of that and how God is redeeming the darkness so that God can continue his purpose through me in this time. And so what we've seen so far is it can be really hard sometimes, not just for moms, but for dads too, for everybody. There's times of stress and times where it's just super busy and things are just moving all the time, and we can't even seem to catch a breath. And today, we want to give you this. We want to give you permission to rest. Permission to rest. So hear these words from Scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 1, and let me just say this one thing. This is the last sermon of our Origin series. Really have enjoyed it. I think a lot of you enjoyed it as well. I've got a lot of good positive feedback on it. Next week we'll do something about Pentecost. It's Pentecost next Sunday, so we're going to talk about empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And then Memorial Day weekend, we're just going to have a kind of a summer kickoff party and have some great music and a shorter message that day. And just honor the summer that's starting and all those things. And then we're going to start another series in June. So I just want to get that out there. Genesis chapter 1, assorted verses here. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And here's what I kind of want to get to. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Now chapter 2, thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So at the end of the sixth day, the earth was populated with animals, and now the earth had humans in it, and God declared it to be good. And this statement I've made a couple times throughout the series, I just want to make it clear again, because over the course of the last month, it's caused no small amount of conversation. So whatever your view is on God and how God created, how God actually made the earth to come about, whether you think about the six literal days of 24-hour periods that God called into existence the entire everything of what we see out of nothing, or if you think a day is 1,000 years, like it says in the Bible, or 1,000,000 years, or whatever, that God maybe even used a Big Bang to get it all started. Whatever your view is, it's fine. So if you think God said it in the Bible, and the Bible says it, so I believe it, and that settles it, that's great. You know, welcome. If you think Genesis was not written to be a 21st century science book, that's okay too. Everybody's welcome here. And I don't think that Genesis was necessarily written to tell us how things were done, but really to let us know who the authority is, and the authority is God, and that we're meant to have a relationship with God, and we're created in God's likeness. And so we don't want anybody to stumble over those kinds of issues about science and miss out on a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So furthermore, I also want to show this too, that at the beginning, that in its original intent, in its original design, God declared everything to be what? Good. Earth is good. Humanity, in our original intent and design, is good. Now, we've messed that up in a lot of different ways with a lot of our bad choices and sin, but God designed us as good. And any step that we take in discipleship, becoming like Jesus, is really recapturing the original intent of the way God designed us to be, made in his image, and it was good. So God wraps up that first week of creation. We read about it all in Genesis chapter 1. And it's almost like God saves the best for last when he creates humanity. It's like, I've created all these things, and then he creates man and woman. And then he steps back, and it's like he says, yep, that's good. Like the artist who makes a masterpiece, and they get done with that final touch of the paintbrush or whatever, and says, that is exactly what I intended to be. That's exactly what I wanted it to be. He says it's good. And then when we cross over to chapter 2, and we see the next day, the seventh day, and just to clarify, at the end of the sixth day, we see, this is why I read it, we see God giving humanity a list of responsibilities, a whole bunch of tasks to do. He's got to take care of the animals and take care of the plants and take care of all these things that were created. You guys think you have lists? Nah. Take care of all the animals that I ever created. Take care of this garden. Look at all these plants you got to take care of. He gave them a big task to do. And that, he gave it to them in paradise. And parenthetically speaking, I want to say that God gave us work to do. And if he gave it to Adam and Eve to do, or the first humans to do in paradise, I think there's still going to be work to do in paradise future. Now, you might not say a big hearty amen to that, because most of us don't want more lists in heaven, but honestly, I don't think we're going to be floating around in diapers and playing harps, okay? We got work to do, because we're meant to be productive, okay? So at the end of the sixth day, he gives them all these things to do, and then on day seven, what's he tell them? Rest. God tells them to rest. Before they get on with the work, they're given the command to rest. And for the first humans, their first full day on earth, according to Genesis chapter 2, was a rest day. It's not a bad way to start, starting off with a rest day in paradise. That wouldn't be bad. God designed us to each have a day of rest, one day a week. And not only that, but I think, so he built in a pattern of a day of rest for every 6 days of work, all right? Sometimes we take two, but actually we'll talk about that here in a minute. But also, thinking back to how he designated each day, and there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. And it says that every other day, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day, the second day, the third day. Before the age of computers and before we had artificial lights, what we call the end of the day, which would be evening, right? That's the end of the day. That was actually the beginning of the next day for the ancients. Even in Hebrew teaching and how they observed life, the day begins at dusk of the previous day. In those days, it was difficult to do anything after dark. They didn't have a lot of candles. They didn't have lights. So at the end of the day, they went to bed as the beginning of the next day. Does that make sense? All right, so they rested the first part of the day. We rest at the last part of our day, right? This is kind of a switch in thinking. The first part of the day for them was spent resting. There was evening, there was morning. The first part of the week was spent resting on that seventh day. We do things backwards in our culture. We tend to work during the day, and then we fill our evenings with activities that look good, they sound good, they probably are good, but they don't provide us any break because we just keep going. Work all day, and then task all evening long because we volunteer for this. We go to that. We do this other thing, and we go to the ball fields. All good things. And then on the weekend, what do? We get a couple days off from work so that we can work on the projects around the house to get stuff done that we couldn't get done all week long because we were so busy working, we couldn't get our work done, right? I know how it is, and you know how it is. You know what I'm talking about. And so we find we're always tired. We're always pushing through to the next thing, the next event. So at the end of the day, we're so tired, we have to rest from all of our work and rest from all of our labors and rest from our exhausting days. But God did not intend for us to be that way. God didn't mean for it to be that way. Instead of resting from our work, God designed us to work from our rest. God designed us to work from our rest. Does that blew my mind when I heard that. It doesn't blow your minds. Okay. God gave the first humans a big responsibility. Look, here's the work you have to do. Now rest. Then go do your work. Enjoy creation before going on to be productive. Take the day off in paradise. Then get busy with the work you have to do. God gave the first humans a daily rhythm of rest and work. The evening and the morning were the day. The rest and the work to start the day. The rest and then work throughout the day. Get energy from the rest so that you can go do your work. And we bring it up on Mother's Day because we want to give you permission to rest. We want to give you that gift of rest. Some people give you flowers. We're going to give you rest. Now, well, we'll get into it in a second. Because we know that you have lists. You have lists to help you keep track of your lists, right? Like, I got this list to keep track of all my lists. And your list may have items that some get crossed off, but your list just keeps growing at the bottom because you keep adding more things to do and more things to do, more things to do. But we know something that's never on your list, and we want you to have permission to put it on your list, because the only way you will do it is if you make this an accomplishment. Can you accomplish rest, especially today? Can you accomplish that? Make it something that is important for you to do, because here's why. In order to bear fruit, you must rest. You must abide. We believe in this principle so much that we actually built an entire nonprofit business and ministry called Little Arrows Play Cafe around the principle of resting. We created a space where people could just recreate themselves, recreate, where they could rest and enjoy and play and spend time together as families. We have to schedule it. So now, actually, we like hundreds of people come through the Play Cafe every month because they've scheduled in a time to come and just rest. Rest and enjoy life for a little bit. Getting rest doesn't simply mean like taking naps and doing nothing, although I find naps to be a glorious part of any day whenever I can snag one. But rest in its simplest form is anything that can give you energy, whatever gives you strength, whatever gives you energy or enthusiasm. And you can get energy in many different ways. You can get energized by going to the gym or taking a run or taking a nap. Have a coffee with a friend, taking time to pray, make some artwork, play with the kids, go for a bike ride, go fishing, go for a swim, date night, have dinner, read a book. Whatever it is for you that gives you energy, that is a form of rest. And we want you to do those things. We want you to rest. We want you to rest so that you can be fruitful and productive in the long term. It's like Diana said, I prepare so I can be more fruitful later. She didn't use that exact word. I myself enjoy a garden. I have a vegetable garden I keep. I love to plant it. I love to tend it. I love to keep it weed-free as much as I possibly can. I, believe it or not, I like, it's just restful to me to go out there. It's peaceful. I can pull the weeds and enjoy that. I'm not tired when I'm done doing that. Until August and September, I'm sick of it. You know, like by then it's like, all right, I'm done. I pull everything out of there because it's taking energy from me. I hate it, you know, blah, get rid of it. But the rest of this year, I was like, I love it. I want to be out there. It's a joy. But I've learned a lot of lessons by tending the garden, in particular tomatoes. I like to grow nice, juicy tomatoes. I've grown a lot of gardens. And I've never once seen a plant, in particular tomatoes, strain to bear fruit. Have you ever seen a plant work hard to bear fruit? Like, and then, you know, out pops a tomato. We don't see that, do we? They don't work hard to bear fruit. They don't work at it. Plants just produce fruit naturally. They just rest. They root into the soil, and then they produce their fruit rhythmically in season. As time goes on, they naturally produce what God designed them to produce without laboring. Here's how Jesus taught on the principle. John chapter 15, 1 through 8. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's really what the diary of a busy mom is all about, just trying to produce, get much things done, do more things. It's a simple analogy and teaching that Jesus gives us, but when we really lean into it and live out the teaching, we find that we no longer have to push. We no longer have to strive and work to produce fruit. But as we abide or remain in, as this version says, as we rest in Jesus, then we just naturally produce the fruit that God gives us to produce. So let's look at it a little more closely. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Like, look at the expectation. You should bear fruit. That's the point. Like, we should all be bearing fruit. Fruit bears seeds of the plant. The fruit and the seeds multiply the brand of the plant. If you're not bearing some kind of fruit for the kingdom or on a path towards bearing fruit for the kingdom, snip, he cuts you off. But you can apply this to your own life. If you have part of your life that simply isn't bearing any kind of fruit, but it takes all kinds of energy and it takes a life out of you, cut it out. Just take it out. It's not worth your energy. Busy moms, you want to find some rest? Cut out the parts of your calendar that aren't bearing any fruit for you or for your kids or your family. Just get rid of it. It's not working. Don't burn up your energy in an area that will never bear fruit. Let me say it again. If you got to find some time for rest, cut out the part of your calendar that's not bearing any fruit. You're just spinning your wheels, and you're killing yourself for something that's not going to produce anything, whereas your family could maybe use you as a healthy individual. Jesus goes on, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. That's a really hard teaching too, isn't it? Because why would we cut out something that's bearing fruit? Oh, I'm doing all this work. Look, it's giving some fruit there. There's some fruit. We can't cut that off. It's bearing fruit. It's a good thing. Why would we cut it? Oh, Jesus gives us the answer right here. Why would we cut the thing that bears fruit? We cut it so that it can bear much fruit or more fruit, so it can be more fruitful. You cut it out so you can be even more fruitful. Do you have things in your busy schedules and your list of things that you do? Good things, probably. Good things that are probably bearing a little bit of fruit, but you could bear even more fruit if you cut it out. Perhaps there's things that you're doing that you know other people could do and would be willing to do because that might be their passion. They need to be taught to do that thing, and once they're off and running, guess what? You can bear more fruit because you're no longer doing that thing that you were doing. So, busy moms, are there items on your list or schedules that you could teach your kids to do so that you could bear more fruit and they could bear some fruit? Husbands and dads, you're not off the hook here either. Are there ways you can contribute to your household so that there's a good rhythm for your wife, for you, for your family, for your kids, that can provide you all some rest so that you can all produce much fruit or more fruit? We have this thing. We do a home group on Sunday evenings, and sometimes the house is messy. Every Sunday we have to clean in order to be ready to receive people into our home, and so we don't look like slouches or whatever. So we adopted a thing that we do every now and again called the 20-minute cleanup, and there's four of us in the family. If we all do 20 minutes of cleanup, that's 80 minutes worth of cleaning that can be done in 20 minutes worth of time. You hear what I'm saying? So we bear much fruit when we cut out some other things. We're going to bear a lot of fruit right now, get a lot of work done, and then the house is pretty well ready to go in just a few minutes' time. So are there things you can do that would give you more time for rest if you maximize the time that you have now? And it seems so antithetical that if I cut out something that's good and bearing fruit, then I may actually bear more fruit. It kind of seems ridiculous. But here's how we do it. Jesus says, starting in verse 3, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Remain in Jesus. Or other versions say, like I said, abide. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just like the tomato plant cannot bear tomatoes unless it's rooted in the ground, unless it's connected to the vine, we cannot bear fruit for the kingdom unless we're connected and abiding in Jesus. And then he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, and I remain in you, abide in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So to bear fruit, to be productive, we must rest. In order to do the things, all the things that we have to do, we have to rest. To be productive in the kingdom, we must rest in the Lord. And then it just comes naturally. Our productivity, our bearing fruit comes naturally from abiding in and resting in Jesus, being connected with him. And it starts with rest. The list and schedules that we keep, I know you have them. On your list, do you include time for abiding, where we do nothing but rest, nothing but just abiding, where we do nothing but what looks like on your schedule, I don't even want to use this word, but I'm going to, where we just waste time with the Lord. But I'll say this, every minute that we waste time with the Lord is a minute invested in the Lord for bearing fruit. Look, the tomato plant isn't out there running around trying to get everything done just so it can bear its fruit. It just sits there, and it happens naturally. It abides, and the fruit comes when it comes. It's a rhythm of life. But the alternative is fierce. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Look, it's a waste if we don't abide in Jesus. We just get cut out. In my garden, every year I grow zucchini. Every year something happens with the zucchini. There's some kind of disease or something. It looks like something that eats the stalks from the inside out. And all, like, there might be a piece of fruit sitting there, but the stalk is dead. So the first thing I do is cut all that out of there and get rid of it, because it'll infect everything else if I don't. So I cut that out. Because I don't want it to infect the healthy stalks that I have. If we don't, and that'll never produce any more fruit, because it's not in the soil anymore. It's not rooted in. It's not connected to anything. If you don't remain rooted in the soil, you cannot bear fruit. It's never going to happen. You can work, be busy all the time, and you'll never be bearing any fruit. But he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So when we abide in Jesus, and his word is abiding in us, and it's alive in us, look at the promise. Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I'd like to have pizza today. Not that kind of ask for whatever you wish. Be cautious on that, because we need to be aware, are we really abiding in the Lord? And then when we do, he gives us whatever we ask for, because we ask for whatever he already wants for us. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, God works within you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you already want to do what God wants you to do. And if you're asking for what God wants you to already have, he says yes every time. So when we're abiding in Christ, truly abiding, we only want what Jesus wants anyway, so we can ask for whatever we wish, and he gives it to us. The reason we bear fruit is for the glory of God. It shows that we're disciples of Jesus. We don't bear fruit to show off anything that we've done or accomplishments that we've had. We bear fruit to show off what God has done for us and to show what God has done through us. And I'm about to wrap up here, but I just do want to call in one thing that Charity said there, and it's kind of her story about she was busy, never carving out any time for rest. And when we don't do that, God will probably find a way to make that happen. He'll cut for you. He will cut for you. I had this situation several years ago. Busy. And then, lo and behold, I got sick and landed in ICU for 2 weeks. And then, like a six-week recovery after that. Guess what? I had to do nothing. He'll cut for you. Because you will drive your body so depleted that you can't do the things that God had for you anyway. And then suddenly you're free to rest. You're free to learn that other people can do the things that you've been doing. And then when you finally recover well enough, you will bear much fruit. Now, it doesn't mean that if you adopt these principles, things won't happen anyway. Things will happen. But anybody who needs to look at your schedule and your calendar, we're giving you permission to rest. Permission to take time to just simply abide. And the only way you can accomplish more is by resting more. We don't have to be busy all the time. We take time to be connected, to remain in, to abide in Jesus Christ. And then the fruit just comes naturally. So I encourage all of us to be intentional about working from our rest as God designed us. I encourage all of us to not let our calendars control us, but we control our calendars. I encourage all of us to remember that rest and work are meant to be rhythmic. 6 days of work and a day of rest. Rest in the evening of every day in preparation for the work for the next day. And finally, I challenge us all to abide in Christ and allow the fruit to come naturally, rather than working and striving and straining and pushing to achieve accomplishments. And for the moms, above all else, today we give you permission to rest. And it's not anything we're saying here. God says it. He gives you permission to rest, to just be. Abide in the presence of God and allow God to restore and renew your strength. Happy Mother's Day to you all. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this gathering of worshipers here and people who are all on a journey towards Christ-likeness. We hope that we can become more and more like your Son, that we can bear his image to the world. Help us to be able to adopt some of these principles and practices, that we can take some time to rest, and we can work from our rest rather than rest from our work. God, we just ask that you give us permission to do that, give us license to do that, give us the ability to do it with confidence and not feel guilty. And God, and we just ask that to you today, since we're honoring mothers, bless everybody who has that position of mothering. And while we can't all celebrate it with our mom now, help us to be able to just reach out and understand those who do that function for us, and bless them today with what you've blessed us with. We praise you and thank you for this time of worship. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for this closing song.